At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by Al Jazeera Pornography News for Muslims. Can't watch porn because somebody told you God said so? Does your theocratic government block wide swaths of the internet? Do you still want to know the relevant details of the plot? Well, we'll give you play-by-play announcing and color commentary in sexy Arabic accents of exactly how those two girls paid for the pizza and exactly what they're doing with that one cup. We'll be broadcasting 24/7, so we'll keep you abreast without seeing a breast. Al Jazeera Pornography News. We see things coming, so you don't have to. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
We're headed for serious tyranny. We've done so much good, and that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed, please.
Hi, this is Thomas from the Thomas in the Bible podcast, and we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
Thursday, it's October 3rd, and congressional Republicans just knocked all the pieces off the board, kicked the table over, took their ball, and went home. I'm your host, No Illusions, and from professional-level football teamless New York, New York, this is The Scathing Atheist. In this week's episode, we'll learn that the Muslim culture portrayed in 90s action movies was entirely accurate, Russia will finally get Coke, Betamax, and de facto anti-Muslim legislation, and C-Web from C-Web Sunday School will join us to give The Scathing Atheist a little hip-hop cred. But first, the diatribe. You know, I might have been the only person walking out of the Eugene O'Neill Theater on Saturday night saying, don't get me wrong, Book of Mormon was hilarious, but I wish it had been a little less pro-religion. Lucinda and I finally got around to seeing the Broadway sensation this past weekend, and yes, it's every bit as good as everybody says it is. The dialogue's hilarious, the songs are phenomenal, the dance numbers are spectacular, the story's solid, and they essentially spend 2 hours mercilessly lampooning one of the most ridiculous cults America has yet to produce. And still, I'm gonna bitch at the show for being too damn nice to religion. Like most pop refutations of religiosity, they toss religion a huge bone at the end of this thing. After spending 90 minutes learning how insane a person would have to be to take Mormon dogma seriously, we learn that it's okay to believe patently absurd things as long as they inspire us to do good and work together. Ultimately, that's the moral of the story. It reminds me of another one of my favorite comedic excoriations of religion, Kevin Smith's 99 dick and fart joke classic, Dogma. We spend the whole movie lambasting Catholic mythology, but Chris Rock's character encapsulates the same ridiculous cop-out about halfway through the film when he says, it's not important what you have faith in, just that you have faith. Now, when you break it down like that, it's pretty clear that we're dealing with batshit lunacy. This statement could be used to justify any psychotic delusion you could imagine, and yet it's presented within the movie as the soft-pedaling endorsement of religion. In Book of Mormon, the main character overcomes his crisis of faith by realizing that it doesn't matter if the stories are bullshit as long as they help people to live a better life. But ultimately, it's a profoundly stupid concept. It's like saying I'd love the forest if it wasn't for all the damn trees. It's like saying the gun has nothing to do with the bullet. Sure, the specific tenets of any religion are stupid. I think even religious people would admit that at this point. But they cling to this misguided notion that it doesn't matter because the results are positive. Sure, they're not universally positive, but their religion is positive right now in their lives, so how could that be a bad thing? Of course, our cream-of-the-crop atheist listeners already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to spell it out anyway. Thinking is important. Thinking isn't as easy as some people seem to think it is. The very fact that we use the term common sense as anything but an example of an oxymoron is plenty of proof of that. Critically examining a question isn't something that comes to us innately. You have to learn how to do it. And of course, a religious worldview stands in the way of all of that. It's not enough to have the right answer if you got there the wrong way. If you think that the only reason is it isn't okay to murder people and take their shit is because God says so, you're a dangerous motherfucker. The problem isn't this silly belief or that one, it's the method that you use to get there. You can believe any insane, detrimental shit you want, but if you used reason to get there, I can reason you back out. I can show you where you fucked up your chain of logic, but there's no way to faith you back from the ledge. Religion forces you to relinquish critical thought. It can't be arrived at through empirical means, and it can't stand up to logical evaluation, so it kind of has to. That's a prerequisite to faith. Hell, that's the definition of faith. It's a damn shame that this doesn't go without saying, but anything that forces us to stop using our brains is a bad thing, but especially when that thing that's asking us to not use our brains is trying to tell us right from wrong.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is equal opportunity scather Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to offend a new demographic right here in the opening of the segment?
Well, how the fuck are the Mayans keeping their appointments organized these last 9 months? My friend from Belize is always confused. He's talking about the thing with the guy and the place on the day. It makes no sense.
All right, mildly offensive.
It gets so much worse.
It really does. In our lead story tonight, a Kansas anti-evolution group is suing the State Board of Education on the grounds that teaching evolution promotes a religious belief. Yes, they're suing because evolution is too religious.
So church is trying to tell state they aren't maintaining a proper separation of church and state. There's a solid headline in there somewhere. Church not in Kansas anymore after accidentally invoking First Amendment and getting separated from state.
I like it. The lobbyists in question go by the bullshit-flavored moniker Citizens for Objective Public Education, and they're suing to block the board from implementing a uniform science curriculum called Next Generation Science. But to be fair, this group would be pissed if it was 8 generations ago science, since we have had this evolution thing for a while now.
What do they want, a state-by-state thing? Evolution is real, and cigarettes cause cancer, but so far only in California. What if we compromise, split it right down the middle? Science gets to determine the science curriculum in this life. Church can decide on the curriculum in the afterlife. That would be fair.
Yeah, it sounds fair to me. They get way more time under that plan. But according to John Calvert, the attorney defending perpetual stupidity, quote, the state's job is simply to say to students, how life arises continues to be a scientific mystery and there are competing ideas about it, end quote, and theoretical, end quote, quote.
That's why all the gynecologists are trained in human birth, but also stork wrangling. You know, just in case the stork thing doesn't continue never happening.
Yeah, who the hell are teachers to teach students stuff about things?
Also, evolution isn't a wild stab by Charles Darwin at how life arises. It's a proven explanation of how things that existed reproduced other new things that existed.
Right.
It has nothing to do with cosmic life origins. If everyone would please turn to page zero, also known as the cover, we can all clearly see that it's not called Origin of Life, it's called Origin of Species.
Au contraire, though, according to the lawsuit, learning about evolution, quote, causes students to embrace a non-theistic worldview.
Well, obviously.
Now, this is something of an undercurrent to everything that we say on this show, but I think from time to time we have to just stop and bask in the stupidity of the war that we're fighting here. When Christians realize that learning about reality makes you stop believing in Christianity, their solution is to stop people from learning about reality.
Well, moving on to international thought crime news, Sudan's top 10 most wanted list has a new number one. The dangerous fugitive is implicated in a crime spree in which she turned in her library card, got a new license, and stopped being Muslim. Nala Mahmoud, a Sudanese woman and also naturally a Muslim apostate, had her life threatened by UK politician and big Islam fan Salah al-Bandar.
Yeah, and I think the most fucked up thing about this story was the response from the Metropolitan Police Department, which basically said, oh, death threats never hurt anybody. They even suggested that investigating al-Bandar might anger him further and lead to more passionate fatwa activity. So apparently they're willing to overlook an occasional death threat from an Islamist because you know Muslims and their silly fatwas.
Crazy old scalawags, hair tussle, shoulder punch.
Noogie noogie.
Being Muslim and therefore having no choice in the matter, Bandar led something known as a takfir campaign against Mahmoud. Takfir is an Arabic word that means something similar to excommunication plus we all have to kill you now.
Well, then, what does Allah Akbar mean?
Well, I was watching Air Force One the other day, and it seemed like Allah Akbar means, I'm a Muslim evil henchman, and my bosses are hijacking this plane. I think that's what the literal translation is for that.
People watching Air Force One, that's good.
Well, obviously Muslims aren't all terrorists, but traditional Sharia law really does call for execution of apostates. Sure, the sloppier progressive Muslim theocracies have eased that back to mere amputation, but the thing is they don't specify amputation of what, so it's confusing. I imagine they have a spinning wheel, like the Price is Right, the Slice is Right, I guess. Beep. Bop. Whoop, clitoris. That's probably
See,
how it goes.
You were doing the wheel. I thought you were doing a Muslim there for a second.
It's very similar.
That would have been way worse.
You sound like the beginning of Plinko.
And in the goddamn blasphemy laws filed tonight, a Russian judge has ruled that a popular translation of the Quran should be banned for violation of the nation's law against extremist materials.
Well,
Muslim leaders are predictably outraged by the notion that a book that calls for the murder of 76.8% of the world's population and endorses child rape is somehow extreme, and they vow to brutally murder anyone who says otherwise.
These outraged Muslim leaders of which you speak, I can't picture it. They're usually all about gray areas and reasonable compromises. It's weird. But these angry outliers you're talking about, they're saying extremist literature is okay because of some sort of free exercise belief in Santa Claus they have over there, too?
Well, I guess that's what they get for having the one holy book that endorses horrible shit, right?
So their argument is that extremist messages are only safe in the hands of brainwashed masses of fanatically faithful idiots. It's the disorganized secular jihadists that can't be trusted with understanding allegory. Really?
No, I think it's important to know that basically every Russian official except for this one redneck judge is backing away from the ruling, and there's no way that it's going to stick. But the Russian bigot class was quick to embrace the ruling. Guy with unpronounceable Russian name, who was speaking on behalf of political party with equally unpronounceable Russian name, applauded the decision and even extended an entirely non-racist offer to pay for the deportation of Muslims who didn't like it.
That's not racist. The Muslims who did like it got a paid vacation. It's not bigoted at all. All Muslims being treated equally different. That's reasonable.
Now, obviously, we here at the Scathing Atheist would never support the banning of any book, but we'd especially oppose the banning of a book as insane as the Quran. If the Holy Babel segment has taught us anything at all, it's this. The most powerful weapon against a religion is its own holy book.
All right, moving on to South Asian Buddhist redneck islander news. In case you haven't been keeping up with that section, a Sri Lankan exorcist almost survived a botched evil spirit removal at a house outside of the capital, Colombo. It should be noted that the only way to botch the removal of a spirit that doesn't exist is to die during the process, in which case you can't proclaim success at the end. So that's what this guy did.
I am dying to hear how a person goes up against a figment of imagination and fails to a fatal degree.
All right, well, here it is. This particular magical spell called for, among other things, the exorcist to bury himself alive and then trust the onlookers to dig him out when he signaled to them by thrusting a sword through the dirt. So,
I can't imagine how this went wrong for him.
Yeah, it's tough to botch something as simple as this. But apparently, here's what happened. He misread the recipe.
Oh. Wah, wah.
It said, sacrifice a whore, and he sacrificed a cat. And of course, when he buried himself alive, the dead cat didn't prevent his suffocation the way the dead whore apparently would have.
Right.
After 3 hours during which he was dying and therefore unable to stab his sword up through the ground like he planned, the audience dug up his dead body.
So now what you have here basically is a bunch of villagers staring at a lump of dirt going, eventually, I think he's dead in there. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. The first 2 hours and 59 minutes of holding his breath is one thing, but 3 hours? Come on, this is straining credibility.
Yeah, the onlookers are pretty stupid, too. They're not quite as dumb as the exorcists, but they're pretty stupid.
And in Stop in the Name of the Lord news tonight, a police department in Montgomery, Alabama, thinks they may have pinpointed the reason their murder rate is so high. Too few Alabamans know about that Jesus fella.
Right. Montgomery just ain't been the same since that godless MLK guy started causing trouble.
Now, because a high-tech security system prevents him from physically rubbing his nutsack all over the Constitution, Corporal David Hicks of the Montgomery Police Department had to settle for the next best thing.
I imagine lots of other Hicks would love to rub out their Hancock on the First Amendment, too. What was next best to that?
Apparently, under his direction, the department had instituted an official constabulary proselytization program and gave ministers express access to crime scenes so that they could evangelize to victims and perpetrators and people who are in otherwise vulnerable states of mind. And the best part is it doesn't cost a dime unless you're an Alabama taxpayer.
Right. Well, I've said this before, they should really have their own schools. I know the phrase doesn't go over well in Alabama, but religions, not black people, religions really need to have their own schools so that creationist kids can get a separate but inferior education like God intended.
It's hard to get inferior to an Alabama education as it stands, but
yes,
I'm sure they can try. Anyway, the program in question is modeled after similar programs in Ohio and perpetual scathing atheist whipping state Texas, and is so insanely illegal that the Supreme Court should get to piss on the people who started it at some point.
I'm sorry, I'm just getting a really fun visual. I'm getting Sonia Sotomayor squatting over the Texas legislature, peeing right on their faces. It's a fun one.
Yeah, I've had it.
Okay, moving on. Our government may be getting too entangled with misogynistic major religions, mm-hmm. but at least our legal system still guarantees something vaguely resembling gender equality. Our women can proudly boast that the United States is one of the world's best places to be raped.
Oh, jeez.
Sadly, the same thing cannot be said for Saudi Arabia. It is, in fact, a bad place to get raped.
Like the backseat of a Volkswagen?
Except for the mustache rides. Seriously, though, just a single count of rape victiming can get you in big trouble beyond just the evil spawn gestating inside of you in many occasions. Sharia law seems to understand rape in the Hegelian dialectic sense, and therefore the victims are philosophically aiding and abetting the consent impaired by being raped. It's on
wow.
them.
Wow.
Wow, it's, indeed.
This is so fun. I know that, like, simultaneously I both should and shouldn't make a transitional joke here, so I'm kind of lost.
All right, I'll just go ahead and tell you about one particular Saudi woman, a convicted rape victim who had her sentence of 90 lashings in... One more time, I'm going to repeat this. A convicted rape victim had her sentence of 90 lashings increased to 200 lashings plus 6 months in jail because her lawyer told the world media that he was representing something called a convicted rape victim. Saudi Arabia points out, listen, we also convicted the 7 rapists and added to their sentence too. It's not like we only punished the victim here, so.
Just fuck.
Fuck.
What do you say to another one of those preemptive wars we Americans seem to be so good at?
I can get on board this time.
I mean, seriously, I feel like any group of human beings who can enforce a law that would punish a 19-year-old girl for being gang-raped has rescinded their right to sovereignty. These backward-ass, prehistoric, sociopathic, misogynistic fucks wouldn't be qualified to judge an episode of Cupcake Wars. Anyway, moving on. And from the Seek of Being Ignored Department, the American Sikh community... No, you know what? Fuck that. I got to go back to the goddamn Saudi Arabian story here. Seriously.
It's not funny. It's not funny. Sorry. It's not funny.
No, it isn't really. If you had asked me to make up like the worst, most horrible, fucked up example of injustice I possibly could have, I would have fallen short of this.
Far short. It's tough.
I mean, it's plenty fucked up that there would be a law that would allow them to whip a woman for willingly having sex, but for fucking getting raped?
Yeah, they do the willingly thing, too. It just teaches the wrong lesson. Be slutty. Enjoy the gang rape. It's not rape anymore if you enjoy it. You don't want women enjoying this horrific ordeal. What kind of message does that
exactly.
send?
Exactly. Because as fucked up as a law against being raped would be, this is even worse in practice because what it amounts to is a law against reporting rape.
Right.
It's a disincentive for women to exercise even the insignificant fraction of rights they have in these anencephalous theocracies. Seriously, think about how few rapes get reported, even here where it's like legal to report it and you're not going to get whipped bloody over this shit.
It still doesn't happen enough.
Right, exactly. The reporting, not the
reporting, the rape. Let's be clear. Yes, thank you.
But like, what rationale are these fucking judges using? Like, well, that slut will think twice about getting brutally assaulted next time.
Okay, one more unsolicited joke, please.
No, dude, seriously.
All right, I said please, and he said no, and that means no, and not yes, and bring 6 friends, Saudi Arabian listeners.
No, like, dude, seriously, just hold off on the rape jokes for a second. I need, like, 2 paragraphs to get this shit off my chest.
Sorry, you're going to say get that shit off my chest, and I'm not supposed to make a Cleveland Steamer joke?
Yeah, I know, we do the whole complete lack of moral compass thing, and, you know, I love it as much as the next guy, but we've got to pump the brakes here for a minute, because this story is so demonically fucked up, it's important that we actually stop and reflect on exactly what we're talking about.
I don't want to pile on the gang rape jokes here, but I really only occasionally get the opportunity to make...
Think about it. We're talking about a barely adult girl. She's brutally raped and then gets whipped bloody as a punishment. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Are we in the goddamn Middle Ages or something?
The funny thing about gang raping a girl with 6 buddies
save me the edit. There's nothing funny.
But if I never get to the punchline, we'll never know how
and
funny...
And like Sharia law my ass, dude. It's not a fucking law. And this is important to say. This is not a Muslim thing. This is a theocracy thing. Go watch those fucking fundy Christian preachers on YouTube and tell me those misogynistic astards wouldn't be sentencing rape victims to lashes if they could. Well, she was wearing pants, so she was asking for God to make her get raped.
Okay, but you did a voice. I can make one more last rape joke, please?
Yeah, that's all I had to say.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather be raped once by six buddies or six times by one
guy? Dude, no, let's just end it here.
Six one half dozen the other.
Oh, God. All right, I'm sorry. I'm too pissed to be funny now. I guess that's going to have to do it for headlines. Where's my fucking bong?
It's always right there.
Goddamn Neanderthals. Anyway, Heath, thanks for joining me.
Blast me, whoop whoop.
And when we come back, we'll do a bit that we recorded before I got so pissed off.
Each year, nearly 100 million children are inflicted with religion.
That's more than 300,000 a day.
15,000 an hour.
250 a minute.
For a second.
Pi every 0.785 seconds.
This horrible mental disorder affects a child's ability to reason, to interact socially, to even experience a guilt-free orgasm.
In its early stages, religion can cause sweating, confusion, night terrors, cognitive dissonance, social anxiety, and anal leakage.
And if left untreated, it can even lead to complete loss of cognitive function and sphincter function.
You won't believe the shit that will come out of your ass and your mouth.
Many victims end up needing an entire crock to store all the shit. But there is a way that you can help alleviate this epidemic of oral defecation.
For the cost of just one bottle of single malt scotch a day, you can donate about $50 a day. Or you could just donate the bottle each day.
And every dollar you donate to the Scathing Atheist goes directly toward fighting this horrible disease. Except that part that goes toward pizza.
And single malt scotch.
The Scathing Atheist is one of the world's oldest and most trusted New York-based anti-theistic 30-minute weekly amateur explicit English language podcasts.
For almost years, we've been fighting against this dreadful affliction, but we can't do it without your financial support.
Well, I don't know if can't is the right word.
We'd rather not do it without your financial support.
And donating to the Scathing Atheist doesn't just help us, it also helps you, because if you don't give the money to us, you'd probably just spend it on crack. Or maybe not, but you never know.
If they've got a crack guy, that's where they're spending it. It's crack, it'll get you high.
So go to scathingatheist.com, look for the donate button on the right side of the page, and give until it hurts, because I'm using my sad voice.
So I got an email the other day from C. Webb over at C. Webb Sunday School asking me if I'd mind if he turned my Joshua poem into a rap. Of course, I told him I was flattered and I couldn't wait to hear it, but I had to wait anyway because he had to still do it. But luckily, you don't. So I'm proud to present to you Joshua, O Joshua, performed by C. Webb, inspired by a bunch of long-dead genocidal Jews.
Saved all the women alive, killed every male among the little ones, and killed every woman who has known a man by lying with him, but all the girls who have not known man by lying with them, keep them alive for yourselves, because I am the Lord your God.
Joshua, oh Joshua, that genocidal idol. He's the baddest motherfucker that we met yet in the Bible. He's like a biblical Batman. If Batman killed babies, imagine what we'll reap with their Tamanian rabies. Chop up your foreskin and people actually do. He's like a Jedi and that his story isn't actually true. He's like Superman, he's invincible and he wins every battle. But unlike the Man of Steel, he's killing women and cattle. He's like the Hulk with Thor's hammer and a magical arc. The son needs his permission before it's allowed to get dark. He's like a Bronson's Jackie Chan, and he even kicks ass with dumb shit like his notorious courses of nuclear trumpets. He's like the biblical Bruce Lee, but with triple the skill. He's never met an innocent bystander that he couldn't kill. With the swipe of his sword, he knocks the wings off of a gnat. He could take it off four Ninja Turtles and that mutated rat.
And all of the South, and all of the Vale, and all of the Springs, and all their kings, he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathe, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites for a second time, and he utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword.
Joshua, oh Joshua, Moses finally died. Now you can have the position that so long held your why. You served well the second in command, but time has come at last. After too many decades of kissing God's ass, take the baton and lead this army of Jews. After all, these Canaanites are in need of abuse. You serve God well by scouting and not being honest. Soon you lead the Hebrews to the land that God promised. As you learn about this guy, it's not hard to conclude that Chuck Norris impregnated that Dos Equis dude. He's admirable and lovable, strong and heroic. Only if you haven't updated your morals since the Paleozoic. Your ambitions are grand, your intentions exonerated. So with your God-given powers of land reappropriated, you'll be crossing a river, but you won't need a float. When God's done with that shit, you'd have to carry your boat. Joshua, oh Joshua, how your legend ascends. The way you massacre, exterminate, and ethically cleanse. You're the bravest, the strongest, usually the smartest. Except when dealing with Gibeons, those fucking con artists. Where to go, Jericho? I hear they got hookers. You promised not to kill Rahab, but she's quite the looker. You might as well, since you're killing all the Gentile chicks. And there's no way those Jewish princesses are sucking your dick. Hanging kings, burning village, your army sets forth. From Achon to Ai, they continue in north. Killing children to show what a shit you don't give. But showing a kid you no mercy by letting animals live. With the slightest of setback, your conquest succeeds. Ensuring that millions in history will boast of your deeds. You're a legend, a lion, a genuine stud. They took your milk and honey, but you took their blood.
Goddamn right, I am that I am. Elohim, the notorious G.O.D. Taking foreskins and killing innocent children. Because I just don't give a fuck.
Huge thanks to C-Web for letting us use the song there. This dude is as intelligent as he is talented, and in addition to arranging biblical poems for rap, he also does a really well-presented, well-reasoned counter-apologetics podcast. If you want to check it out, and you almost certainly do, you'll find the link to his homepage on the show notes for this episode. And speaking of awesome podcasters whose podcasts you almost certainly would enjoy, I also need to thank Thomas from Thomas and the Bible for providing this week's Farnsworth quote. He's been doing a really funny podcast for years now where he's breaking down the Bible verse by verse from an atheist perspective, so if you like our Holy Babel segment, but you want a little more detail, you can find a link to his show on our show notes as well. I can't recommend it enough. I also want to thank everybody who responded to my call last week for more Farnsworth quotes. I have quite a stockpile now, so if you sent me a sound clip, thank you. I will definitely use it. Might take a minute to get through the backlog now, though. I also wanted to toss out a quick plug for an atheist meet and mingle going on in Vegas on the weekend of October 18th. I don't really have enough time to spell out all the details, but if you're going to be in or around the area on that weekend, it looks like it could be like a debaucherously good time, so we'll have a link to their Facebook page on the show notes as well. One additional and important note, nominations for the People's Choice Podcast Awards are going on right now, and I've gotten several messages from people who wanted to let us know that they nominated us. We are, of course, absolutely flattered, but we're actually not eligible for a podcast award this year. For whatever reason, their rules stipulate that a podcast has to have started on or before January 1st of this year to be eligible. So as much as we appreciate it, use your nominations wisely. There's a lot of deserving podcasts that need it. And before we power down tonight, I also want to thank Heath for being a really funny bastard and doing it on this show a lot. I also want to thank Lucinda for helping us out with a little donation pitch this week, for putting up with all the time I spend on this podcast, and for regularly having sex with me. But most of all, we need to thank this week's most important accumulation of molecules, Forrest, Ward, Shane, Tom, Ryan, Daniel, and Marcel. Forrest, the mighty slayer of dragons. Ward, tamer of beasts and women. Shane, friend to all the woodland critters. Tom, masked nunchuck master. Ryan, bane of the villainous. Daniel, grand and legendary conqueror. And Marcel, assassin of the gods. Together, these seven valiant warriors have earned their way into legend, myth, and our archives by giving us money. And of course, if you'd like to join their illustrious ranks, you'll find the donate button on the right side of our homepage at scathingatheist.com. And if you're looking for a way to help, but you work for the federal government and thus have no income at present, you can also help us by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you found us. If you need a little more Scathism in your life, you can check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on our erratically published blog. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode, except the awesome Joshua rap, was written and performed by yours truly. And yes, I did have my permission, and I also had C-Web's permission to use his awesome Joshua rap. Thanks again, bro.
You won't believe the shit that will come out of your ass and your mouth.
Many victims end up needing an entire crock to store.
You're doing so good.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I fucked it up. Okay. Oh, shit. I can still have the same spot.